more? You can share a little bit about your ministry, unless you think I covered it or fumbled the football, whatever you
I'd love to share it a little bit. So,
let me lower
thank
that
you so much
bit.
For
keep up.
Letting us be here today. And I just want to, I feel a little awkward that we've been standing up here. I want this to be about the Lord, and it's all about Him and what He's doing. So, as I share this about the Lord's work in my life, I just like you to see that. But so as a Penn State student, I went in my freshman and sophomore years, my first 2 years, and I don't think I have to explain what the college campuses look like today. It's just a very thick culture of recklessness and carelessness, partying and hooking up. It's a very thick culture. If you watch news, you can see what's happening on college campuses. So anyways, that was me my first 2 years. I just went with the flow. I did what everyone else was doing, and it looked like that was the only option. I grew up in the church, and I accepted Jesus when I was about 10. So this whole time, the Lord was nudging me and letting me know that I was created for much more than what I was living for at the time. And one of the verses He used was, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. So in that loneliness of partying, the Lord told me He was close to me, and then He also told me in Isaiah 43, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And so He was telling me, Michaela, you're mine. And then later in Isaiah 43, again, He says, the Lord who rushes forth on chariot and horse, army and warrior. So I just had this image and this sense of in my loneliness and in that confusion and even in my sin, the Lord was near to me, and He was calling me as His, and He was fighting for me. And so I began to pray for people who would show me what it looked like to have a relationship with the Lord. And as I was sitting on campus as a junior, so my third year at Penn State, I saw a woman sitting with a cup that said the Navigators. And the next thing I know, I was walking towards her, and I asked her about that because I knew it was like a ministry. And so I snuck into like the group worship settings on Friday nights, the first two Friday nights, by myself, because I didn't really want to tell my friends because they expected me to be like the typical Penn State party girl student. And so I was kind of at this place where I knew that I was being called to be a woman of the Lord, but my friends didn't expect me and they wouldn't understand that. So, but anyways, this woman with the cup came alongside me, and we began meeting once a week, and she became my discipler. Her name's Melanie. And her and her husband, John, were on staff with the Navigators at Penn State. And they even invited me into their home, so I lived with them for a semester so I could really be in a place where I could grow and be in community away from my roommates who expected me to be someone else. Basically the Navigators were just very influential in teaching me how to have a personal relationship with Jesus and scripture memory and Bible studies and prayer. And I just really grew in that community. So that's what Cameron and I will be doing. He moved to State College after being a truck driver for 2 years. He graduated from Grove City. I'm talking for you.
In Matthew 9, says that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. That is the call that both Michaela and I received the crowds at Penn State University are very harassed and very helpless. They may not know it, like Michaela shared, that's it's just a confusing, lonely period of life for a majority of college students. Everybody knows the statistics about people's children falling away from the faith when they go to college, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we do. We come alongside students, whoever the Lord provides. Sometimes it's students who are already believers and want to grow. Sometimes it's students that are not believers. At Penn State, there's tons of international students. We have people from every continent that are involved in our ministry. And after they graduate, they take the gospel back to their homeland. It's just an amazing melting pot of the world almost, to reach people with the gospel. And that's what we do. We come alongside students, Bible study, one-on-one discipleship, evangelism. And so, yeah, that's this summer we are traveling all around raising support for our ministry. We have to raise 100% of the funds for our ministry. And so we are looking for monthly and one-time partners so that we can do this as our full-time job. And so if anyone felt led toward that or knew of any contacts, we have information with us. But we just thank you guys for allowing us to be here and to worship with you guys. This is such a unique privilege. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Amen.
They left out one kind of non-ministerial tidbit. They're engaged and going to be married November 5th. So, thank you, folks. Well, without further ado, let's give a nice hearty welcome to Pastor Todd Stubblefield this morning.
I am excited. I truly am, for a number of reasons. That I'm excited, first and foremost, because Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And he's Lord all by himself, praise God.
Yes.
And so with that being the case, that's a lot to be excited about, that within itself, because the possibilities for you and I are great when we come to know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And that's the thing that keeps me having hope each day, that keeps me waking up in the morning, that keeps me just having a smile on my face in the midst of all the hopelessness and all of the things that we see happening in the world today, because I know that Jesus has everything else under control, then that's where my happiness lies. That's where my joy is in the Lord. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about being here this morning, having church with you all. This is my third time, I think, that I've had an opportunity to preach here. And so it brings me great joy to come down to the wilderness. My father's from Spotsylvania County, Virginia. My mother's from Tappahannock, Virginia. I think I've told that all two times I was here, one time before. So this is like home to me because I have land not too far from here, right down by, I forgot the golf community.
Lake of the Woods.
I think it's Lake of the Woods, right down the street. But anyway, we have land down there. My sister and I, that's my father will to us. But with that being the case, the other thing that I'm excited about, I'm excited for you, Cameron and Mikhail, for the work that you all are doing in the Lord. I think that's a great thing for young folks because we are missing that throughout the earth today, where so many of our young people are distracted by different things. Not that they should not entertain or enjoy other parts of life. They should. But there are so many things that are out here that are distracting to them or that are pulling them away from God or blinding them from seeing the truth, that it really hurts and it's destroying our kids' lives. And so I'm excited for you all. We're going to partner with you from our church. Our church is a small church in Northern Virginia, but we serve a great, mighty God. Amen. And so we're going to work with you all throughout the summer. So when we leave from here, we'll make sure we get your information. We'll make sure we put you on our Facebook page and on our church website. And that's why I was filming you all and just taking pictures so I can put it on there and let my friends know what we're doing and get you all some additional support. All right? Praise God.
Amen.
I think that's a great work that you all are doing
out
there. Second and foremost, I'm excited about my friend right here. Amen. He has a heart of gold. Amen. Listen, he said, I want to pray for the pastor here. And it did my heart such a great joy. Amen. That he did that. And so he did not have to as he put my name out there. But yeah, we came down with a little bit of car trouble. We had plane trouble yesterday. We flew in yesterday from Orlando. We were down here celebrating 25 years of marriage. My wife and I. Amen. We're excited. That's my heart of heart. That's I keep telling people now, y'all gotta work with me on this one. I keep telling people when a wife finds a husband, she finds a good thing. Amen. Now people say that's not what the Bible says, and I understand that.
What other preacher says? What other preacher says?
I like that. I know when it says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, a favor in the Lord, and praise God, I have tremendously. For you all who've been here with us, or we've been here with you all for some time, y'all know that my wife, she's a pancreatic cancer survivor and a breast cancer survivor. Amen. And so God has done great and mighty things. She's also a worship leader, and we work well together, I think. As a matter of fact, I know God put us together, and it was just in the point of time for us to meet and cross paths in college is where we met. And so some 29 years ago we met in college. We got married 4 years after that. We just celebrated last week. We just, like I said, flew in yesterday. And even the flight in yesterday was just just crazy. The devil's busy, but God is good.
Amen.
And so with that being the case, turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I'm going to read 13 verses, 25 through 38. If you all can bear with me for a few. I won't keep you long, but I am going to share the word with you. Amen. Hopefully take you in some places that you may not have been in. Not that I'm looking for something new to give you, because there's nothing new underneath the sun. Amen. But I definitely want to adjust the lenses of your life so that whatever you're looking through, even though you may see Christ Jesus, that you may come in even more into focus. Because I think what happens to a lot of us is that we get caught at the cross and that's where we stop. And there's so much more to Christ Jesus than just getting stopped at the cross and stopping right there. The cross was the means by us being reconciled unto God. The cross was the means by which we've been empowered by God. But now, beyond the cross is where you and I should be in our lives. Amen. Not that we don't know the ancient cross. Praise God, we do. But listen, beyond the cross is where God would have you and I. That cross was just that means to take away our sins. Praise God. Again, to get us back into line with God's perfect will for our lives, but to empower you and I to live a life here in this earth, to do God's will, and to enjoy it. I keep telling people all the time, the earth was not made for man. I mean, man was not made for the earth, but the earth was made for man. You go back and look at God's original plan in the garden, one of the things you'll find is that everything was in perfection. Praise God. And they were in worship with the Lord, and they had everything to their fingertips, their grasp. Everything was subject to man. And because of disobedience, we find ourselves in the trouble today. We find ourselves in broken down cars. I don't know if cars ever came into existence had not Adam and Eve did what they did. But at this particular point, we have man and all his imperfections. And because of man's all his imperfections, we have to deal with some of the things that we experience in life today. But because of Christ's perfection, and because he's given us a perfect spirit in the Holy Spirit, there's so much more left for you and I to do to enjoy this life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Chapter 7, amen. 25 through 38 says this, I don't have my reading glasses, and I choose not to use them. I just choose not to use them. Amen. So here we go. So if I strain a little bit, I'm in denial. Amen. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. Then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me, and you know where I'm from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true. Whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Therefore, they sought to take him, but no one laid hands on him, because his hour had not come. And many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring and the things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I will go to him who sent me. You will seek me and find me and not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this thing that he says? You will seek me and not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. On the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his hearts will flow rivers of living water. I'll just add 39 here. But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. The Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in the precious name of Jesus, God, we just thank you for this time that we have to share together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ who died on the cross for us that we might be free, that we may have our life, our relationship with you, Lord, that's intimate, God, that we may hear your voice, Heavenly Father, and that we may live this life, Heavenly Father, prosperous in everything we do. Lord, we love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so with this being the case, you all, Friday morning, this past Friday morning while we were still on vacation, I woke up about 4 a.m. to the voice of the Lord saying, believe in me. That's all I heard the Lord say. I heard him say, believe in me. And so let me give you a little bit of background right here, what's happening in chapter 7. They're at the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the celebration which was commemorating the move of Exodus, or the move when they were moving from Egypt to the Promised Land. And so the Feast of Tabernacles, again, was a commemoration of a couple of things. First and foremost, the blessings of the Lord. Everything that God had blessed them with. In fact, if you go back and you read when they were leaving Egypt and they were on their migration out to the land of Canaan, the Lord blessed them tremendously. Matter of fact, he told them, ask of all their neighbors, and their neighbors gave to them bountifully. They had come immediately out of slavery, immediately into prosperity, not only in spirit, but in the things in which they were gathering from the people, that they may do what God's perfect will was for their lives. And so God was putting them in a position to where they were not ever to have a need ever again. He said it. He says, I'm going to take you to a land of milk and honey. Praise God. Where all your needs will be met. And so he was taking them out of one condition and putting them into a new condition. And so with that being the case, they were celebrating the blessings in which their forefathers and mothers had received. They were celebrating also in commemoration of the Feast of Tabernacles, to because when they had left the land of Egypt en route to Canaan, they had to sleep in tents or tabernacles. Amen. And so they were commemorating that time because that was a time out in the wilderness with the Lord. Praise God. But they were also celebrating at the feast all the blessings in which God had given them up to that particular point in their lives. And so they were being mindful of the things that they were supposed to be doing. And so the Feast of the Tabernacles was one of seven feasts that they were always come together and enjoy together as a people in honoring God for who God is in their lives. Amen. It's no different than what we do here on Sunday mornings or what happens on Saturday mornings in the Bible study. It's a time in which we come together just to hear the Lord's voice or hear a word from someone that we may continue to grow and be the men and women that God has called us to be. Praise God.
Amen.
I tell people it's nothing worse than to go to church, hear the word of God, and be the same person you were before you entered into the church. Something about our lives are supposed to change day in and day out when we hear the word of God. We're supposed to be drawing closer and closer to him each and every day through our prayers, through our fellowship. You know, I'll be walking down the street and somebody hear me in an outburst. They may think I have Tourette's or something of that nature, but it's not that. Praise God. I'm just excited about the life that I have to live. Amen. I want to talk to God. So my wife and I say, you know, I have these little outbursts from time to time, and she's been with me for 29 years. And so I have these little outbursts from time to time. Nothing really loud, but I start talking to myself. But I'm talking to God oftentimes enough. Sometimes I'm just going over in my heart and my head some of the things I hear God say. And so with this Friday morning, when I woke up at 4 a.m. to his voice saying, believe in me, I believe God was communicating to me some things in which my heart desires that I want to see happen in my lifetime for me. It's not about me, but let me tell you all something. Don't mistake in this. God wants you to have the desires of your heart. He says it in Psalms 37 and 4, that if you delight in my ways, I'll give you what? The desires of your heart. But oftentimes enough, a lot of us don't see those desires. A lot of times, those things don't manifest in our presence. It's because we're missing out on some things in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, we are happy-go-lucky church people. But we don't oftentimes enough realize that God wants to do so much more in our lives besides us just being happy-go-lucky church folks. He wants to empower you and I to live vibrantly.
Amen.
He wants to empower you and I so that when we find ourselves in the midst of a truck situation like mine, that our attitudes and that our emotions are not affected by something that's imperfect. Matter of fact, when the truck started acting up on the way down here, we had just pulled up to 7-Eleven to get my favorite cup of coffee. And as I was getting my coffee, the truck did whatever it did. The stabilizer lights came on. The truck jerked like that. I already knew what it was. I knew it was the oils acting up on the truck because it had happened one time before. And my wife said, are you ready to go have a good time in the Lord? I said, I sure am.
She immediately took my mind. See, this is why the Bible says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. Because when she has her heart towards the Lord, the minute something crops up to where the devil comes in to steal your joy or to try to get you to lose focus, she's able to redirect you right back where you need to be. She didn't even give a thought. It wasn't even a pausing sentence. As soon as the truck acted up, I said, "That's a stabilizer light." She says, "Yes." And then she says, "You ready to go have fun in the Lord?"
Amen.
And I said, "Yes, I am." And that's why when the Lord woke me up on Friday morning to the words, "Believe in me." Because God knows I have some dreams. God knows I have some desires. God knows I have some ambitions. God knows I have some goals that I want to come. God knows that you want to be successful on the campus of Penn State, where you probably have, 30, 40,000 students out there that you're going to have to minister to, whether it be one soul that turn, whether it's 40,000 souls that turn. It does not matter. God just cares about the soul that turns towards Him and the work that you're going to do in the Lord. But He wants you to believe in Him, because you have a great journey ahead of you. Because even though you know what the work looks like, it becomes even greater once you step into it. It's a lot more difficult than what it appears. And now these young folks are doing something grand, and they have to raise money in order to do the work of the Lord. And we would much rather give money to a concert, to people to get us up and happy for 5 minutes, to some music that may not melt out to be anything, than we would give to some young folks who want to go out here and help our youth lives to be changed and be saved.
Amen, brother.
Amen. We'll line up and we'll stand in thunder and lightning. I will. But we'll stand in thunder and lightning just to watch a football or basketball game or to get tickets to some special event. But we won't even get up on Sunday morning and give God some praise, who gives life to us and life more abundant. And so with that being the case, I wanted to bring this to your attention, because the people were grumbling at the feast. They were divided over who He really was. Some say He was the Christ, some say He was not the Christ. I gotta tell you something. Some people were at the feast just because the feast was going on. They just wanted to see if they could take advantage of it. It's no different than other people who go to other activities in church and everything else. When you all have your little revivals or whatever you're gonna have on campus, some people will come just to check you out and see what you're doing. They just want to be nosy. They want to cast aspersion or doubt. Other people are coming there because they really want to know what's happening. Other people are coming there because God is drawing them, because no man can come to the Lord unless He first what? Draws them. And so you're going to have everybody there. Jesus said, there are some who comes for the fishes and the loaves. He didn't care. Jesus really didn't care who came for whatever reason. He just came. Apostle Paul says, some preach the gospel to my hurt. But I don't care why they preach the gospel, because the gospel is being what?
Preached.
It doesn't matter. And so with that being the case, you know, here the Lord was sharing with me some things about believing in me. And the reason why I'm telling you all this morning is because there's some things that some of you all out here this morning still want to accomplish in your life. There's some things you want to happen. Businesses to happen. Some mortgages to be paid off. Some other things. There's some families to be reunited. Whatever it is, God cares about you. Certainly if God can care about the worker whose axe went over into the water and had the prophet raise it up, a simple old axe, how much more does He care about you and I? If He's willing to feed the birds of the air, how much does He care about you and I who are made in His what? Image. God's desire, even the angels want to know why you're so special. Amen. He says they desire to look into you and find out why God is mindful of you. Because angels don't get the opportunities that you and I get. Amen. They mess up, they're cast out. You and I mess up, we get to repent. Mm-hmm. And so God is mindful of us, and the angels are so concerned about, why are you so mindful of man, God? Because in you He has put Himself, so that you and I can be the light of the world. But not only that, for us to just enjoy life to the what? Fullest. And so here it is. I was on this, and I'm a mix two messages in just a hot second, and I'm going to get you all out of here. But when we went into Mark chapter 13, I'm going to take you back to Mark chapter 4 and verse 10 for a second. Turn your Bibles there. I want to show you all something. This is why I say there's more to the Word of God than us just talking about the cross. The cross was the vehicle to get you reunited to God. The cross was the vehicle to pay your debt that you could not pay. But the cross was where not God wanted you and I to stay, because if the cross was where God wanted you and I to stay, then Jesus would have stayed on the cross. But He paid the price. He paid for our sins. He forgave us. He reconciled us. And then He filled us with His Spirit. But when you look in Mark chapter 4, look at this for a second. this gives me complete chills. Oh my gosh. And then I'm going to take you right back in John chapter 7 and give you a little bit more understanding. Mark chapter 4 verse 10 says this. Well, I need to get there first. Here we go. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12. Okay. So there were more people there than just Jesus Christ. I mean, there's just the disciples. Correct? Uh-huh. The Bible says those who were around him with the 12 asked him about the what? Parable. So it was more than just the disciples there. So sometimes people think that the great things that was happening through the disciples' lives were only for the disciples. That's not true. It was for all of God's children. And so he says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in what? Parables. And so if you're a child of God and the Holy Spirit reigns within you, you're to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. God is not supposed to be mysterious to you and I. You and I are supposed to know the things about God that he desires for us to understand so that we can live an empowered life here in the earth. And this is why I say it's more to Christ than just the cross. I'm not doubting the cross. I thank God for the cross, because had it not been for the cross, where would I be this day? But beyond the cross, there's so much power in living that God has for all of us in here. I don't care what age you are. God desires to give you something great about him to deposit in you that the world may experience, that you not only are prospering, but that the world are prospering. The world is looking for answers. People are looking for the answers to life, and we have it, and most of us do nothing with it. If we don't do nothing, if you say nothing else about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light should say that he's on at your house. The light of Christ should be on in you. That whatever you do, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do should reflect who he is. People should feel Christ all over you. Your disposition, your outlook. You just brush past somebody. They should say, ooh, there's something different about him or her. I was in Walmart. We came into Orlando and we planned an Orlando trip long before this massacre happened down there. And so people kept saying, are you still going? Why not? Why am I not going to the Orlando? Just because it was a massacre down there, it was tragic. But God's there too. I said, so I'm not worried about the massacre. I'm praying for people. But at the end of the day, I serve a mighty and awesome God. I got to be honest with y'all. Can I be real with you all? I feared the plane more than I feared the environment that was down in Orlando. I know God said he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but I just don't like airplanes. I don't have any control. I get way up there and I'm looking out the window, and my wife shut the window on me. So I went out the window. I said, God knows what you need just when you need it. But when we got down to Orlando, we rented a Mustang convertible. We wanted to go back to our younger days. Never owned one before. So, you know, had a little drop top on and everything. And so, you know, we pull up to Walmart, and this guy who looks very disheveled, homeless, came up to me and said, hey, you have a couple dollars for food? I said, yeah, I'll be right back. Let me go into Walmart. When I come back, I'll give it to you. Came back, the guy was gone. I was feeling miserable the whole day. I did. Because I try to give as much as I can give to people who are panhandlers or beggars, because I could have been in that position. I lost my house because of a bad mortgage and because of a bad practice that HSBC did to us, that they did to a couple of thousand other people who they were just recently sued in a class action suit, and they won. Now, of course, because I was a part of that, they sent me $238, but what is that in comparison to my home run? Nothing. And HSBC admitted to their bad practices and their principles. The other people got paid good money, but just because my name was mentioned, they sent me a $238 check. Well, I'm going to take that check. But it doesn't compare to the house that they took from us because of a bad practice and principle. Something they did to us long after we had signed the contract. But it was like I wasn't there, because God is still good. And so anyway, I come out of Walmart, feeling bad. I told my wife, I said, I knew I should have given it to him then versus waiting. And I looked around and didn't see the guy. So sat me Friday. fast forward, Friday. This past Friday, the day before we were leaving, because we were leaving yesterday, I'm sitting in Walmart waiting for my wife. She's getting all these little gifts and trinkets and stuff with Walt Disney on it. I'm sitting there, and out of clear blue, I have my head down like this, and I look up, and there's another guy standing in my face. I never saw him coming. Standing in my face, dressed nice, had on his work clothes. He says, "Excuse me, do you have a couple of dollars so I can catch the bus?" So I looked around and said, now, out of all these people in Walmart, this guy appears right in front of my face and asks me for $2. Now, the guy before, who looked disheveled, asked me for a couple of dollars. This guy asks me for $2. He doesn't look disheveled. He doesn't look homeless. He has on the work gear. He wasn't from Walmart. I said, sure. So I reach in, pull out $2. I give him his $2. And I stop what I'm doing, and I watch him to see if he was going to go to anybody else. And he didn't. He just walked right out the store. I said, okay, Lord, is this my second test to show that I'm all right and good standards with you at this particular time because I missed the first test? Is this my opportunity to make up where I went wrong? I just need to know from you. I even posted it on Facebook. I said, y'all help me with this one because this totally blew me out of the water. I just did not know. And so he did that. And so in doing that, I said, well, you know what, God? I said that every time I get an opportunity to give, I'm going to give. Maybe I blew the first test. This is an opportunity for you to give me a second chance around to be on top of what I'm supposed to be on top of. I did it. I don't feel great that I did it because I still missed the first one. But God forgives, even in our mess ups. Are you with me this morning? And so let me just do this real quickly. And so let me bring this right back. Because God is positioning you and I to empower people's lives as we're being empowered by Him. So He says this in Mark chapter 4. He says, for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But prior to this, he talks about the sower, the seed sower. And he talks about where seed falls in various places. Stony ground, shallow ground, thorny places, and good ground. And he desires you and I to be good ground. But there are parts in our lives to where the word has fallen on stony places to where quickly the devil comes and steal it. Like the car. The car could have easily been in that place where the Lord sowed the word and the devil came in and quickly steal it because I was immediately distracted by the car. He sows it in shallow places to where sometimes you just hear the word, you're so excited, but it really never gets a chance to get deep into where you are because there's no deep places in that particular area and it jumps up real quickly and you shout in victory, but all of a sudden something comes around, steals the joy out of your heart. Thorny places where the cares of the world just takes it out of your life. And then good ground where you and I are just producing. And producing, and producing, and producing. And it's meant for you all to produce 30, 60, and 100 fold for the kingdom of God. Are y'all with me this morning? It's meant for you to do something. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. This word of God that you have in your life, it's meant for you to do something. When you leave here this morning, you're meant to what? Do something. I'm not telling you to go on a mission field. That's their job. God didn't call all of us to mission. He called all of us to minister and to be witnesses, but He's calling you to what? Do something. I'm going to prove to you in just a second. God is calling each and every one of you all here to do something. Do something with the gifts that He's given you. Do something with the voice He's given you. Amen. Do something with the legs and arms He's given you. Do something with the mind He's given you. Do something with the voice He's giving you. I venture to tell all of you all in here that if something was to happen to your life to where now you became restricted in your ability to do versus the freedom in what you once had, you would think back in yourself and say, I wish I could go back and do something different with your life. Well, today is that day that you and I can do what? Something. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, something. Because in our lives, we should be producing some 30, some 60, and some 100 fold. Wherever the word of God falls in on you, you're supposed to go out here and produce. Amen? Amen. So let's jump into John real quickly, and I'm going to be done. Let's go back to John chapter 7. Because while the people were mumbling and grumbling and talking about and whispering, is this truly him, and why haven't the Pharisees done anything? Why haven't the priests done anything? If this is the guy they're trying to kill, why are they not putting their hands on him? Certainly scripture says because it was not yet his time. But towards the end of the feast, verse 37 says, matter of fact, let's just go there real quickly. Excuse me. Verse 37 says this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Isn't that interesting? Where are they at? a feast. What's there? Food and drink. What are people doing? Eating and drinking. And he says, if anyone what? Thirst. Far beyond what your natural man desires, what is your spirit desiring? He says, if you thirst, come to me. That's what he said. If you thirst, what? Come to me. Whatever it is that you have need of and that you want, he's saying, come to me. And so here it is. This is what he says in verse 38. He says, he who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers. Not a river. Rivers will flow out of the heart. Okay, so let's look at this for a second. The word I want you to look at for a second real quickly is the word in. When you look at the word in, by definition, it means the office or capacity or position. So he says, believe in the capacity, believe in the position, believe in the power that I hold. That's what Jesus said. Believe, if anyone, when I woke up on Friday morning, I'm telling you, he woke me up saying, believe in me. Because there's some things my wife and I had talked about all week long about our businesses, about our church, things that we want to do, things we want to go, all the stuff that you all want. He's saying, believe in me, because there's some adversity, there's some challenges, there's some difficulties, there's some things before us that will cause us to think in our natural mind that this is not going to work out, that maybe I made a mistake, maybe God didn't really call me to this, maybe God didn't give me this business because it looked like it's failing, it's crippling. Maybe that God didn't give me that truck that I thought that God had given me, because every time I turn around, something breaks down. But no, that's an opportunity to praise God. Amen. In the midst of the breakdown, what are you going to do? Praise God. Am I going to kick the car because the tire went flat? Talking about, you know I'm supposed to be somewhere today. Why are you cursing the car? It's just a tire.
Amen.
The truck don't know where you're supposed to be. It's not living. It's just a driving vehicle to get you where you need to be. Why are you cursing the tire? Why don't you just thank God the tire didn't blow out on you, didn't have an accident at 80 miles an hour going down the highway? Thank you, Jesus. I'm in a safe place. The tire went flat. Hallelujah. Who do you want me to meet? Because somebody's coming my way that's going to help me out. And maybe you want me to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them.
Amen.
Maybe that's just it. Because I'm called, watch, I'm called to produce some 30, some 60, and 100. When the word of God comes into me, it's not to come into me to make me just a fat kid with the word of God and I sit on it. No, when it produces in me, I'm supposed to give out to everybody else.
Amen.
That's the power of God. So the 30, 60, and 100 fold in me is for my enjoyment, but the abundance of it is for God to be experienced by everybody else through me. So when he says, listen, he says in verse 38, he who believes in me, believes in my office, believes in my capacity, believe in my calling, believe in who I am as Lord, which means master over everything. As the, he says, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So things are supposed to be produced out of your life. The source is the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. But out of you are supposed to flow things of life. Where you put your hands is supposed to be blessed. Where you tread your feet is supposed to be for the kingdom of God. Everything about you should say, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Everything. And that's the excitement about God. Amen. So every place I get to go, I shout the victory. So we rode all week long. We had the rooftop down on our car. We've taken selfies everywhere. We're posting everything about who we are. About 25 years of excitement of marriage and all the things that we've had to go through. And, you know, people are clicking back to us and we're waving at people going down the street. You know, I thought I was the president. That's how I feel. Listen, if God says I'm an ambassador, how should I act? Like an ambassador. An ambassador has all power of the country in which it represents in a foreign country. Isn't that true? That ambassador possesses all the power of its country in a foreign country as though they're where they are, and no one can do a darn thing about it. And so if we're ambassadors of Christ passing through a foreign country, we should be living as ambassadors. They don't want for anything. They don't worry about anything. Even when they make a mistake and the law comes against them, do you think they worry about that? Absolutely not, because they're granted immediately what? Immunity. God knows you're granted what? Immunity. The cross granted you what? Immunity.
Amen.
You, I'm not saying go out there and just live haphazardly. What I'm saying as I'm done is that God has granted you what? Immunity. So that even in your mistakes, God has forgiven you and granted you what? Immunity. That's why you're supposed to be living in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. That through you, things are supposed to be happening. So every place I touch is supposed to be a place of blessings. Every place I tread my feet is supposed to be for the kingdom of God. Everything about me should say Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
My light should always be on. Representing him who he is. So when he says, out of me flows the rivers of water, living water, flowing out of me. The Holy Spirit. So when you look at Ephesians 3 and 20, it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or act according to the power that worketh on the inside of us. Who's that power? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And there's so much more I have to tell you all, but I can't. We'll be here all day. And I know y'all want to go out here and enjoy some of this wonderful scenery and the rest of your Sunday, and you should. Because God is not bottled up in a building.
Mm-hmm.
You're God's building. You're God's temple. You're God's place of worship. You're God's place of residency. You are the church. Everything about you is supposed to be experienced in power. Even to the point of when Brother Kevin said, listen, Pastor Todd has to get back up the road so his mechanic can see the truck, but you can fix the truck long before the mechanic can get there. That's a truism.
Mm-hmm.
But do you believe that? Do I believe that? Yes, I do. Because he's who? God. And he's God all by himself. And so I'm telling you all, he says the mysteries are for you to know. God wants to reveal some things about him to you that happens to pertain to your life that makes you successful and prosperous and powerful beyond measure. So that when you're trying to do something, even to when you're going to buy a house, they say you're not credit worthy, you don't have the money, God says, but they have faith. And God's favor begin to move out all of the obstacles that stop you from purchasing a car, buying a house, starting your business. When the bank says, listen, I don't have any money for you. We can't loan you anything because you don't have any credibility. But I have Christ.
Amen.
I have Christ. And so things can't be your obstacle. God has to be your opportunity. I don't care what's in front of you. God owns the thousand hills with the cattle on, and he owns the cattle too. I'll say this. If God could simply feed a village a night, with King Solomon, and never run out of food, a village a night, you're talking about hundreds of lambs and cows and whatever else out there, the wheat, the barley, the rice, hundreds of villages a night. Think about God for a second now. If he can feed villages, a village per night through King Solomon and never run out of anything. And he says, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. How much more can he do for you and I? How much more will he provide you to because your heart's for God? You're talking about raising money. I'm asking you to raise Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Money you'll never worry about. As long as you continue to raise Christ Jesus.
Amen.
As God lifts up a standard as a result of who you are for him and Jesus is the banner, money will never be an issue for you.
Amen.
You don't have anything to worry about. As long as it's for Christ, he'll always open the door. There'll be some thin days. There'll be some trying moments. But as soon as the thin day, the door swings wide open. And God sends in the abundance.
Amen.
So I'm excited for you all. We're partnering with you all. But God wants to do a great thing. So I close with this. Is there anybody here this morning who does not know? Or is there anyone in here this morning who want to rededicate their life because you're supposed to be producing 30, 60, and 100? Out of you should flow the rivers of living water. Is there anybody here today who want to rededicate their life or give their life for the first time? Because Sunday cannot be the same. I don't want to just come to church and check in my membership card. I want to come in empowered and walk out invigorated. I want everything about the Lord just pouring out of me. And then I just want to go out and do some things. I want to be somebody's Superman, Batman, Thor. I want to be somebody's superhero, not because of who I am, but because of Christ that resides on the inside. The greatest He that's in me, than He that's what? In the Lord. Anybody today want to rededicate their life? All is well. Praise God. Well, thank you all for having me with you today. Let's give the Lord some. Yes? You want to say something?
Or you ask a question.
You want to rededicate your life?
Yes.
Come on up, man. I'm sorry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's nothing more than getting things re-jump started in your life.
Amen.
Nothing. And so while He stands with me, is there anybody else? Don't be ashamed, because I got to tell you all something. I plan to be with my wife for however long the Lord allows us to be together. But when it's said and done, we both will stand before the Lord by ourselves. What we have together here is only for here. But when we get to heaven, we have to stand before the Lord ourselves and be judged for what we did and did not do. So I say that because the person beside you don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. It's your choice what you do. I ain't saying y'all going to hell because you're going to be dedicating your life. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying don't worry about the person beside you. So is there anybody else who want to rededicate their life or give their life the first time? All is well. Praise God. I'm sorry. What's your name?
Richard.
Richard. Well, Richard, let's pray. Is that all right with you?
Sounds great.
Well, first of all, let me get you to do this first. Repeat after me. Father.
Father.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I just come this day, Lord.
I just come this day.
Just to rededicate my life.
To rededicate my life.
I know You are Lord.
I know You are Lord.
And I know You've called me to a purpose.
And I don't call me to a purpose.
But on this day, God.
But on this day.
I just give You myself.
I give You myself.
All over again.
All over again.
Whatever it is You have need of me.
Whatever it is.
Lord, yeah. Let it be done.
Let it be done.
Because I'm Yours.
I'm Yours.
And You're mine.
And You are mine.
In the name of Jesus, I pray.
In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank You right now, Heavenly Father, that my brother has come before You, God, to just rededicate his life. Lord, we all need jump starts in our lives from time to time. We all need these batteries in our spirit, God, reconditioned, God, because sometimes we get out here in the world, Lord, and we begin to allow these wears and tears, Heavenly Father, to drain and take away from us, God. Sometimes we want those questions answered that we've never had answered, God, but this is the day, Lord, that, Heavenly Father, our ears have heard and our heart has been prepared to receive what thus You have said, God, and now, Heavenly Father, this is our jump start today, God. We thank God, Heavenly Father, that the cells of our life were not dead, God, but You were just, Heavenly Father, giving us an opportunity, Heavenly Father, just to be reached, to be jump-started all over again. And this is what Richard is doing. This is what we all are doing, Lord. And so, Lord, we just say we love You, we thank You, and we praise You for him, the work that You, Heavenly Father, are having him to do in Bible studies on Saturday mornings. Let that word flow out of him. Let lives be changed, whether it's one person or 1,000. It does not matter. It's just that, Heavenly Father, You care about the souls, and let it be done in Your name. We love You, praise You, and worship You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God, man. Can I give you a hug?
Oh, you can.
Amen. Thank you, sir.